Dream big for what we can do here. Let's not be small thinkers. Let's take what we have, let's use it to our advantage, let's come together as a group, and let's go do it together.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 35 of the All Den Podcast, your look inside the world of Furman University basketball. I'm your host, Dan Scott, and as always, we will be joined by head coach Bob Ritchie coming up here in just a bit. We are very happy to have you with us, as always. I want to remind you that the podcast is presented by our friends at Shortfields in downtown Travelers Rest, just a phenomenal restaurant, wonderful people to deal with. They are so good to us, such great supporters of Furman University Athletics. You can find the menu and the operating hours online at shortfields.com. And as I always do at the beginning and the end of the podcast, I'll remind you, if you have any questions, any comments, anything you'd like Coach Ritchie to address, please send it to me via email at dan.scott@furman.edu. As mentioned, this is episode 35 of the All Den Podcast, and as we do every episode, we welcome in head coach Bob Ritchie, the about as relaxed as you get, I guess. You're not a very relaxed person. Your energy level, I say sometimes you make coffee nervous. But coming off the Bahamas, you look a little relaxed.
Yeah, we've had a little time away, and I've tried to stay away from the office for a few days, and spend some time with the family, and just getting off those 10 practices and that trip. It's a little bit more exhausting than your normal summer, so we've shut it down at the office until Monday, and it's been nice, and just trying to gear up and get ready and do some planning from home. So I've enjoyed that.
Well, the beauty of social media today is that you can keep a video log of everything that's going on and allow your fans to kind of follow at least what you want them to see when you're doing something like this, and getting a chance to kind of follow along with what you shared from the trip to the Bahamas. It looked like everybody had an absolute blast.
Yeah, it was really an incredible trip. I mean, it was simple in a lot of ways from a travel standpoint. We left Greenville at 10:30, and I want to say I was in my hotel room by about 3:15. It was an hour and 45-minute flight from Atlanta. And, our ops guy, John D'Angelo, just did an unbelievable job coordinating the trip and just making sure all the details were in place, and when you're trying to coordinate something of that magnitude, it can be taxing. So to have somebody as organized as he was on that trip was huge, and the company that organized it for us did a fantastic job. They run the Battle for Atlantis tournament, and they did a great job. So we logistically very smooth, and only had to get in a vehicle twice. That was to go to the two games, and so everything else was kind of right there, and we had a really, really good time.
Obviously, the intent of this trip is a bonding experience for these players. The games are what they are. So let's talk about them a little bit. I know that wasn't the most important thing about the trip, but let's talk about what you saw in these two games.
Yeah, the thing about the trip from a game standpoint is it's really hard to. It's really hard to figure out, hey, all right, what exactly are we trying to get done in 10 practices to be able to showcase, in these two games? Because of the way we play, it takes a little time. It takes a little time to get all our concepts in. And, and when practice starts in the fall, you get 6 weeks. And, you get through those 6 weeks and you're not even sure you got it all in at that point. So to squeeze everything into 10 practices and to really figure out, all right, what are we gonna try to hold our guys accountable to, and what are we going to do? That can be a little tough, but we tried to keep it really simple. We tried to really pick a few things on both sides of the ball that we could really focus on, and we didn't put any plays in, we didn't put any sets in. We tried to play strictly out of concept and transition offense, and so from that point, pretty limited there. We also really went down there trying to see what our depth looked like. I think that we've got some guys with some proven experience that we didn't necessarily need to go down there and figure out, a lot from those guys. We kind of know what we have from our returning vets. But, past that, there are some depth questions that we got to sort out. And so we played our depth probably more than most people do. We didn't necessarily go down there to try to win basketball games. We went down there to try to, see what type of lineups and different people work together well. And who was going to really try to play the game the right way. And then the other thing you had to really balance was the time. And so both games were at 3 o'clock. You wake up from your hotel. You got 5 pools, 2 beaches, 8 water slides, and it's all right there. You just literally walk out of your room. And so as a coach, it's like, hey, you know, do we bunker these guys down and keep them in game mode, or do we just go let them enjoy themselves? And, you know, we chose to let them enjoy themselves. So you got guys on the – you know, the lazy river floating around and doing water slides, you know, till about noon. And then we fed them, and then we got over to the arena and we played. So I think the first half, I think we were like 2 for 16 from three. And you could tell we'd been out in the sun in the pool. But I thought that was important. I thought it was important to let those guys have a good time. But, you know, we got to see a lot from different guys. I thought out of the 4 halves, I thought we played 2 really well, and the second half of the first game and the first half of the second game, I thought were very well played. A little choppy, you know, in some other areas. There's some things that we definitely need to clean up. I'm not the sunshine pumper, you know, constantly optimistic guy. I like to see the areas that we need to improve on, and you know, those never scare us. We just got to continue to work through them. But we continue to turn the ball over way too much, which is typical for us usually at this stage, you know, as we're trying to mesh concepts and get everything blended together and, you know, get guys the knowledge that they need within our system. That's a typical situation for us because there's a lot more thinking and processing going on right now, but way too many in transition, which is an area that we got to make sure that we value the ball. We play very clean in transition. You don't want to do all that work to get a stop, and then you get an opportunity to play in transition and you throw it right back to them. So, you know, that was probably the most concerning area coming off the trip. Our shooting, we shot it okay. I wouldn't say we shot it great, but with some of the factors, you know, that didn't necessarily surprise me. But I think we got a chance to be a good shooting ball club. I really do. I think that obviously losing Andrew Brown is something from a shooting standpoint that we've got to be able to replace. But we've had some guys really shoot the ball well this summer. And, you know, so Mike Bothwell has really shot the ball well this summer, but for whatever reason didn't shoot it well on the trip. He's been a 45, 46% guy in live play and practice. And, you know, so there's some things there that we've got to continue to iron out. But, hey, that's when you remind yourself it's August, and there's a lot of time between now and November.
August and the Bahamas.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's just it is what it is. You know what I mean? And you know, it was a trip that we really wanted to enjoy and really wanted to come together. And I thought from that standpoint, we really did. I saw Jordan Lyons really take a step forward from a leadership standpoint. And, you know, I saw some other guys do some things I was really pleased with.
You know, there's an old joke among football coaches that you recruit these high-profile freshmen, you bring them onto campus, you know, you quote-unquote wine them and dine them and do all these things, and then when they report for practice, you have to kind of deprogram them a little bit. I'm wondering, and I ask this partially in jest, obviously, but with your freshmen, you know, coming in and first thing that they do of a major situation, going to the Bahamas, I mean, you know, do you worry about having to deprogram them a little bit when they get back and everything starts cranking for real?
Not really, because for us, you know, we really forsake the results for the matter of our process, and we put a lot of into our process, and our process is really demanding and it's really taxing, and it kind of hits you from all angles. So, you know, to be honest with you, we kind of wanted that trip because everything these freshmen have been thrown at. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've really been thrown into the fire in terms of our process and how demanding it is, and so this was kind of, hey, you guys are all four going to be fine. Let's take a deep breath. Let's go have fun. Let's go play a little ball. Let's go enjoy some time together. And their heads are all spinning. I mean, and that's typical. But what this allows you to do is it allows you to iron through some of that before October. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives you a little bit of a head start. And they've got to feel what it feels like to play in a game. And they've got to feel a pretty standard, typical practice and the intensity of it. And everything that they're going to have to manage from a knowledge standpoint, they've gotten accustomed. Well, I shouldn't say accustomed. They've felt it. You know what I mean? They've felt it. So now they've got to learn how to manage it. But I tell you this, you know, just a quick update on all four of them. You know, the one that continues to really impress is Marcus Foster. And you know, the first thing that I'll tell you is, I remember the very first weight workout that they had. They were going through, you know, a very hard circuit, and there's, you know, their first workout, the first couple are teaching and form and, you know, getting acclimated to the weight room and kind of how we lift. But when they finally hit the gas, they were going to do this high-intensity circuit workout. And our strength coach, Coach Aldred, came in my office and he said, look, I've been in Florida. I've been here. I've been around some guys that work really hard. I've never seen anybody attack a workout like Marcus Foster just did. And he said it with this conviction that, you know, you need to see this. And what's been really neat is, you know, that was back in June. He has put on 15 pounds since he's been here. And that's really, really hard to do. But you see that the type of work ethic that he has and how much he cares. And, you know, it's been pretty neat to just watch him and to see how hard he's been going about his workouts. But, you know, one thing we like to say around here is the way you do anything is usually the way you do everything. And his effort and his intensity and the way he charges at things has been pretty consistent. And so defensively, rebounding the ball, playing hard, the way he works out, the way he works on his game, he's really been an early surprise for us. And, you know, he's a little bit ahead defensively just because of how hard he plays. And then he's also been shooting the ball at a good clip, which, you know, I think even on the trip he was 44% from three. So we're really excited about him. You know, he's young, so we had some thoughts about potentially redshirting him. But I don't know. As of right now, coming off the trip, you know, he's more in factor to play than I originally had thought, just trying to catch him up to age. The other guard, Colin Kenny, you know, he's got a huge burden on him just because of how much pressure we put on our point guards. Mm-hmm. And we put a lot of information on them. And he's swimming upstream a little bit with information. But, you know, he's starting to get it, and he's starting to kind of come into his own. He's going to be fine. This has been huge for him to be able to kind of go through this early. But he's going to be in a position to be able to back Alex up. And he's fully capable. He's fully talented enough. Once he gets a firm knowledge of our system and just kind of can relax and go play, he's really going to start to make some good strides. And then the two freshman bigs, you know, Johnny Lawrence and Ben Beaker, both very different in terms of how they play the game, but been pleased with both their production to this point. And, you know, again, bigs, it's always a tad bit harder. You know, it's always a tad bit harder early. And a lot of it's just the physical demands, the rebounding, everything we're asking them to do. So both of them are going to be fine. And, you know, we'll just have to see kind of how the rotation works out in terms of how much we're going to need them. Do we need both? Do we need one? You know, are we afforded the ability to redshirt one, potentially both of them? I just don't know. You know, I think that a lot of that's going to come down to some other guys and, you know, in terms of what our needs are going forward.
Episode 35 of the All Den podcast continues. Dan Scott with the head coach of the Paladin basketball team, Bob Ritchie. What else, as we kind of recap and wrap the talk about the trip, what else were you able to get done? What bonding experiences? And obviously, there was a lot of fun just based on what you told me about the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, it was easy, right? I mean, we had meals together, which was good. The guys were able to go outside, enjoy the different slides and the pool and the beach and just kind of relax a little bit. We did a catamarans tour. We went out and did some snorkeling and, you know, got a pretty long extended boat ride and, you know, just did a couple different things like that. And, you know, we got there on Friday. We were able to enjoy some time, went to a local restaurant and enjoyed the whole fish fry experience. And that was pretty neat. And then Saturday and Sunday were game days. So, you know, you had your breakfast. They had some free time where they can kind of hang out. We went and played. And then at night we had a meal together. And then on Monday was the boat tour that we went on. It was pretty neat. Tuesday was kind of their free day where they could kind of do whatever they wanted around the resort. And then Wednesday we had another free morning before we had to leave the resort around 12:30. So there was a lot of time where they could bond. But the neat thing was whenever I would see them, they were always together, and it was just, I mean, we had one time, I mean, it was about the whole team going down the lazy river together and just enjoying themselves. So that part was really cool to see just mm-hmm. how much they want to be around each other. And, you know, so it was a simple trip, but they definitely had a lot of time to become one, and I think we made some progress there.
All right, so as we are recording this, it's a Tuesday late morning. You said the office is shut down and everybody's kind of gone home. Everybody will be back on Monday of next week, right?
Yep, everybody gets back Monday, staff-wise, and then the players will start to trickle in through the weekend. And so, you know, staff-wise, we got to continue to get organized, get our fall schedule together, and, you know, in terms of how we're going to manage workouts in September and, you know, just continue to mold and shape this team. So looking forward to having some time with the staff planning and getting situated and getting ready. And then we'll have these guys start to get back in. Freshmen come in a little bit earlier. They come for orientation on that Friday. And then returners get back in on Sunday. And then, you know, the schedule's different now. We got about 4 weeks of preseason. Used to you had eight, you know. And so we'll have a condensed preseason, which is fine. And we'll try to get a lot of shots up in that time. We'll try to continue to, you know, get some more things done with our bodies. And we'll probably limit contact a little bit in those 4 weeks and just make sure their bodies are ready to roll. And we continue to increase their skill a little bit. And then really we start first practice September 24th. You get 42-day window from your first game, and you get 30 activity days in that. And so it allows you to kind of spread your practice time out a little bit more than the old model. So I kind of like that. We've got our 30 days picked out, and we got all those planned and ready to roll. So once we start on Monday, I mean, it's kind of going to go, and we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, the calendar really has changed because for years and years, I mean, you were looking at right around October the 15th or somewhere in that general area, and now you're looking at almost 3 weeks prior to that getting things rolling.
Yeah, I mean, they've pushed back the start date for games a couple days. You know, that's going from Friday to the Tuesday, so that's a couple days there. And then when they changed the practice model in terms of used to you had 4 weeks, but they only really got 1 day a week off. And so now they get basically, theoretically, they get 2 days a week off inside a six-week window. And I think that works out a lot better for them.
Yeah. Schedule update. I know you've been continuing to work on that. What, if anything, can you tell us?
Getting closer. You know, that's the main thing. I still think we're a couple weeks out, but I'm sure the fans are getting a little bit uneasy, but it's
clamoring, I think, is the word.
It's a good problem to have. I mean, it's a good problem to have, and it beats the alternative. Usually when you get your schedule done early, that means a lot of people wanting to play you. I wish we could release a list of all the people that we've tried to get to play. Sometimes I think there's not enough accountability on coaches in scheduling. They can just say no, and then nobody ever really hears about it. But, you know, and then the tough part is we release the schedule, and then some of the fans are like, well, why aren't we playing this game? Why aren't we playing this game? And a lot of that is out of our control. You know, I mean, I personally had a blast the Wichita State game. You know, it was, you know, I wish the outcome was a little bit different, but in terms of the energy, the opponent, everything around the game, the feel in Timmins Arena, mm-hmm. I would love to have more of those. It's just, again, if I could go back to the 75 to 80 schools that we've asked to play that have all said no in terms of coming to Timmins Arena, there's just nothing we can do about it. And, you know, we've gone Conference USA, we've gone A-10, we've gone Missouri Valley. Again, we've gone Colonial. We've tried to get some of the former SoCon matchups. We just struck out. And once the other school says no, there's nothing else you can do at that point.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to finish this out. And, you know, it's been problematic to get people to come here. And that's what happens when you play well. I think our style of play was a little bit unique. I think we've had a lot of people say, yes, we're interested in playing. They watch us on film, and, you know, it's not necessarily this rocket science, but it's not the conventional way, you know. And when you're playing a non-conference game and you don't know much about the opponent, it's a lot easier to see more of a conventional style. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a couple roadblocks there, but, you know, we'll get it figured out. We'll have a schedule, and we got some contracts out that we're waiting to get back in, and, you know, we're getting closer. So hopefully in the next, you know, 2 to 4 weeks we can get something out.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you're really at the mercy of other coaches or sometimes other administrators. And I draw on this example from this year's football schedule. You know, the last game of the season for Clay Hendricks' football team is against Point University, which is a non-Division I opponent. And, you know, the message boards and people, why in the world are you playing that game against that opponent? Well, they don't know the backstory. They don't know that there was an agreement with a Division I school and the contract was ready to be signed until that school changed athletic directors. And the new athletic director decided he didn't want to play the game, and the process went for a year trying to fill that spot before they finally got Point University, which is coached by a former Paladin. People don't know the backstory and what it took. And I get the sense, maybe not from a full year standpoint, but I get the sense maybe you're experiencing a little bit of the same type of frustration trying to fill these spots in your schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to other coaches in the league. I mean, Greensboro is going through the same thing. ETSU is going through the same thing. It's just, it's what happens. And, you know, I think that for us, you know, it from a fan standpoint, yeah, I mean, they want to see us play the Boston Celtics, and I get it. You know, I mean, I totally get it. But for us, you know, it's there's a couple things you got to factor in that we look at it a little bit different than the typical fan. And you know, the whole goal is to win the league. The whole goal is to prepare your team to make sure that they have the right mentality when we got to go play, you know, in the SoCon. So for us, it's really trying to figure out how many of those type games can we recreate in the non-league. You mm-hmm. know, how many high-level SoCon, you know, higher-tier games that are non-league can we get so that we can feel that and be in that and see what that's going to be like. And sometimes that the fans just want us to go play, you know, the biggest teams in the country, and let's go play six or seven of them. That's not always the best thing for your team, because you're not going to go see that size. You're not going to go see, you know, all that, you know, in terms of what you get from the ACCs and the Big Tens. That's not what we're going to see in league play. And so, yeah, I want to be challenged. I want to play the best of the best, and we showed that last year. But at the same time, from a psychology standpoint, I've got to make sure I put our players in the best positions to be successful through the course of a season. And, you know, sometimes people can overschedule. Sometimes people can underschedule, and I think trying to get that happy medium right there, yeah. Which is what we showed last year. We're going to play another Final Four team this year in Auburn, you know, and that's what we want to do. But at the same time, we would like to try to find, you know, some teams that are going through the same battles that we're going through, playing the same type talent that we're going to play once we get inside league, and see if we can recreate that. And that's been the frustrating part, is we haven't been able to get as many of those type agreements as I was hoping. And you know, we've been passed over. One team that we were trying to get called us back. They took a Conference USA school in front of us, you know, and basically told us they thought it was a more winnable game. And that's what happens, right? I mean, coaches, when you look at it, when you study the landscape of college basketball right now, leagues are expanding the amount of games inside the league, right? We've gone from used to 14 to 16. Now we're at 18. Now some teams have gone to 20, okay? And now, because they've gone to 20, there's less of those bye games. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's happened is mid-major teams have somehow produced the ability to bye games. And so all the high majors are playing at home. Now you've got other mid-majors that their administrations have given them the amount of money that they can go buy games, right? And so now there's not the amount of potential people that will come to your places that you would think, right? Because they're shrinking it all down. And now you get your MTEs, a couple people sprinkling some non-ones, and then all of a sudden everybody's just trying to schedule wins, right? And so when everybody's trying to schedule wins, they're going to go for a team that is lesser, and there's nothing you can really do about it. And when they have money to pay, they're going to be able to attract lesser because they're going to be able to pay them, and then you're done. Mm-hmm. And so that's been the tough part. The element just a little bit above us, you know, that game that all the fans would love to see at Timmins Arena, they all have guarantee money. I mean, I'm talking $150,000 where they can go throw $75,000 at two people, and they can get those two games from a, you know, 225 or less RPI or KenPom. And then now you're saying, hey, can we? And they're like, nah, you know, our schedule's done. And so, you know, from a fan standpoint, I get it. They say, hey, why are we playing these 9-1s? It's the only people that we can get to come here. And, you know, I don't mind going on record saying that I would love to have it at 2. That would be the ideal. You would love two nights a year where you can play the whole team. You can play the whole bench, and everybody gets to play, and everybody's happy. I think you need some of those. I think you look at your high majors, they play basically 5 or 6 of them, right? So for us to be able to play 2, I think that's ideal. But if we can't get that 31st game. If we can't, we're gonna keep putting it out there. I mean, we post every day, and if we can't get that 31st home game here, then it's a decision you got to make. Do you play 14 home games and go on the road again, or do you try to get to the 15 home game number, which is what you would like for your team and what you'd like for your fan base? And if you do that, if you can't get somebody to come here, then guess what? You got to go play that third 9-1. And so it's look at Wofford's schedule last year. They had three, right? I mean, and they went to the NCAA tournament, won a game in the NCAA tournament. Look at Greensboro's schedule the last few years. They've played three. So it's not some deal we're trying to hide, right? It's just it's supply and demand, and unfortunately this is just where it's at.
Final thing, never too early to talk about your golf tournament that's coming up on September 9th.
Yeah, we've got that thing comes quicker than you realize, right? You go through camp, and then you get you practicing. You go to Bahamas, and then next thing up is the golf tournament, which is our one big fundraiser a year. We're going to have it September 9th on that Monday. There's a dinner beforehand on that Sunday night downtown at the Westin, and it's something that we've always done. To honor C. Dan Joyner and what he meant to this program. And, it's something that if you can make it, please do. If for some reason you're tied up on that date, tell some other people about it and, get some people here and sponsor a hole if you can. And, again, that's a way that you can directly support the program. And I've had a lot of people ask me, how can we know that our support is going directly to the program? That's really the best way. All that fundraising that we do through that comes directly to us.
Other than walking into your office and actually writing a check right there in front of you, right?
Correct. But, that's something that it helps us travel. It helps us recruit. And it allows our guys to eat better and to sleep better on the road and for us to be able to recruit a little bit more. So if you're looking for a way to help, even if you can't make it, if you have a business, if you know a company, you can still sponsor a hole. And John D'Angelo is your point of contact for that. Email him, and he'll get you everything you need there. But we want to try to get as many people out for that as we can.
Well, I hope you're able to actually relax a little bit the rest of the week, because it sounds like come Monday the switch flips again.
Yeah, it goes. And, we're looking forward to it. But, yeah, we got a couple more days. I'm going to head out to Clemson tomorrow and spend time with their football staff tomorrow afternoon and watch practice. And they're nice enough to – They're gonna let me have some exposure to some different elements with their meetings and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that, and always trying to find ways to get better. And going down to the Florida Clinic next week, which is an opportunity. It's a small, intimate group that Larry Shiat's put on for years of mainly college head coaches and NBA coaches. And so looking forward to that, and just trying to continue to sharpen up, get better any way we can, and try to continue to improve ourselves and also this team.
All right, Bob, as always, we appreciate the time and look forward to doing this again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great.
And with that, we put a wrap on another edition of the All Den Podcast. This has been episode 35, again, brought to you each and every episode by our friends at Shortfields and Downtown Travelers Rest. Shortfields.com is the website for the restaurant. All the information is there. And one more time, if you have any questions or comments or anything you'd like to hear Bob Ritchie address, please email me that request, dan.scott@furman.edu. By the time we get ready to roll again in a couple of weeks, we will be into that September 4 weeks of preseason time frame that Coach referenced, and practice begins on September the 24th. It will be here before you know it. That'll do it for this edition, episode 35 of the All Den Podcast. For Coach Bob Ritchie, I'm Dan Scott, saying thank you for joining us, and thanks for being All Den.